Thank you, ladies, for that beautiful special. You know, I've known our brother Randy for many years. And one thing I've found out about Randy is that he has a great desire in his heart to serve God. That is most important to him. I know that it is, that he has not allowed the things of the world to be of a higher importance than his service to God. He has dedicated his life to serving God. And I know that he has a message for us today. He has lots of props here, and I'm sure he has something interesting for us. But I would ask each one of us to open our hearts and our minds to those things that he has to say and those examples that he has for us and how they apply in our lives. I now ask for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother Randy Sheldon.
I have been on a journey. And I have with me, wherever I go, I have my most important possessions. I take them with me. They're part of me. They're part of the way I think. Part of who I am. They are what I have collected at this point. And on my journey, I make sure that I reserve time, especially on Sunday, for tea time. It's very important to me. I can relax and I can get work done. I'm more efficient when I've been able to put in some tea time. I get into my little bag and I often select from this little bag things that I need that are important to me. Of course, I need good nutrition. I got to have energy to be able to expend the energy that I am going to expend day after day. Might find somebody who want to play a little poker with me. Carry my cards with me. I got them ready. They're easy. They're close by. I don't have to go far because I got what I need, what's important to me. I got it near me, by me. And my music. Oh, man, I tell you, where would I be without my music, Danny? I get in and I'm wound up. Life doesn't get much better than that. What have I got here? Some of my counselors. Well, one of my favorite books is Going Alone. I can do it myself. I can go by myself. I don't need anybody. I can. I'm a rock of Gibraltar. And I'm going to go it alone, and this teaches me how to do that. Doing it my way. It ain't your way, it's going to be my way or the highway. Well, how to beat the competition and get rich. That's where I'm about. That's what I want to do. I'm going to get rich, and if you stand in my way, look out. Now, there are places sometimes that I don't really want you to know who I am. I don't want maybe to be discovered and to be seen. And so I keep my disguises with me. Part of my life. I'm carrying a little sheet right here because where I'm going, I won't need any warmth. Sometimes I got to defend myself. Sometimes when I read that book there about getting rich, I may have to do a little backstabbing. I may have to use this to divide between my friends and my enemies. Why, yes. Where would I be without my favorite T-shirt? But what I love most, my friend in life, my companion, wherever I am, it is. It teaches me everything I know. I'm influenced, I'm instructed, day and night. My one-eyed friend. My one-eyed friend counsels me in the nighttime. And if I get tired of looking at my one-eyed friend, I turn on the radio right here and I hear what else they have to say to me. I am a self-made man with the help of my friends. I'm going alone. I'm doing it my way. And without this, my help, I wouldn't be the same man. What I have shown you is a picture of the natural man. And the Bible talks about the natural man, and I just extracted, and you've got it in your hands, I have extracted God's view of the natural man. Now, this is a little brutal, but it's real. And if the natural man has ears, often he doesn't. If he has ears, he'll hear. And here's what the Bible and the Book of Mormon say about the natural man. The natural man is an enemy to God. From the beginning until now, until then, he is an enemy to God. The natural man has a heart that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's the natural man. That's who I am, and the culmination of who I have become is a man who has a heart that is deceitful and desperately wicked. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness as our filthy rags. The natural man thinks that he has some good in him. He thinks that somehow there's something of value in him. And the best that it is filthy rags. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Who? Natural people. Natural men and women. Come they not hence of your lusts that war in your members? Know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Friendship with the world makes us stand as an enemy, sets us apart, and God scopes us out and sees it quickly by what we are, by what we wear, by what we think, by what we do, by what we have been accustomed to becoming. We can become an enemy to Almighty God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy of God. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain? Or do you think that it's superfluous for the Scripture to say this? Or do you think that it's just idle talk when the Scripture says this? I'm paraphrasing what it says. Do you think that the Scripture saith in vain? The Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. Filled with it. Rotten to the core with it. Corrupted by it. Distorted by it. The natural man is an envious, desperately wicked, deceitful person who is an enemy to God. What is the solution? Well, David says, "Oh, wretched man," it wasn't David, it was Paul. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of flesh? Who can deliver me from this horror of this, of the wreaked havoc upon me? Who can deliver me from that? I can't. I haven't got the power to deliver me from this. I haven't got the will to remain aloof and separate from this." But Jesus says, "I am the vine and ye are the branches." If you're connected to the vine, you'll bear forth fruit, and that fruit will be pruned to bear forth more fruit. But here's the question and here's the statement. "But for without me," now get this, "you can do nothing." You can't do it. All of us who are struggling in your trials and your struggles, you got this mountain you've got to climb. You got, as Laura was saying, you got to climb up a mountain right here, and you don't have the strength to do it. Who can deliver me from this wretched person who's unable to climb that little 300-foot mountain? "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ." Now, here's what I want to say, and I don't want to be misunderstood by this, and I want you to understand this is what I'm talking about. We people, weakened down by the devil, overcome and have not the ability to overcome the obstacles in our life. That Scripture says you're dead. Now, the death is a solution. The death is... Randy, did you know that was here? No, I didn't know that. And I don't care. Well, look over there. No, I don't choose. I have my view, as David says. My blinders are on my eyes, and I ponder the path of my feet. I'm not going to look there. You're dead. You're dead against those things. And where are you dead? You're dead from these things, and you're dead, and you're hid in Christ. And I find that as I was studying. I tried to reconcile this. I've said this is in Him and Him in. And I kept reading that in the Scriptures. In Him and Him in. You are dead in Him, and He is in you. And as I read that, and I kept reading, and it kept coming back, how can you be in Him and Him in you? I thought of Joe Yates and Bobby Hedrick. These guys are fighting the fire, and there's a fire in that room, and they kick that door in, and they go in that room, and it's full of smoke. They're in it. But if they didn't bring their power pack, your oxygen pack, it's in you. Laura and I went hunting the other day, and we killed a deer. We gutted that deer, and I am covered with blood. And we're going to eat that deer. And the aroma of that deer is in me. It's in me. It's on me, and it's in me. Now I find in my struggle of life, I need Him to be on me. I need the blood to be on me. I need to be covered by the blood. But I need Him in me. I need Him in me, and in me emanates everything that's good when He's in me. If He's not in me, there's nothing that comes out that can be good. If He's not on me, there's no manifestation of anything that's good. He's got to be on me. He's got to be around me. I've got to be in Him, and He's got to be in me. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. I'm going to talk about this hiding place. I'm going to talk about those of us who flee and are being pursued by the hounds of hell. And there's a hiding place. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with God, with Christ in God. God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now, there's a key to that. I cannot have this stuff. I can't pack this stuff and have Jesus in me. I can't. It does not work. I can't be packing this stuff and have Him on me. It can't be. He can't be in me, and He can't be on me with this stuff. And so I've got to be dead. I've got to mortify the things that militate against the activity of God. I've got to kill the things that are killing my spirit in my relationship with the Lord. There's a promise, and we're going to go through that. There is a promise by Almighty God that if I'm on you, people who have your rock that you're carrying, if I'm on you, there's no power in heaven or hell that can come against you. And so, some of these references right here dealing within Him is this. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Now, I think of that quickening deal. I got a little tomato plant at home, and that little tomato plant withers, and it's not producing. But if I give it the right kind of sunshine, and I give it some nutrient, Miracle-Gro right here, it begins to quicken. It begins to grow, begins to turn green and get thick and vital. It's been quickened. Jesus wants to come down in our congregation. He wants to do that with us as Christians. He wants to quicken us. He wants to come in us and give us the miracle grow of the Spirit that allows us to live rather than die. Most of us would probably say, you know, we're the living dead. We're dying. quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together, and made us together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When I believe that a Paul, or an Apollos, or an Alma, or a Nephi, when they have entered into the Lord, when they've come into the Lord, when the Lord descends upon them, above them, before them, and behind them, when that happens, they are a fortress. They are a fighting machine. They are a force to be reckoned with. There is no power. They escape the design and the deceit of the devil that wants to undermine them and bring them down and cut them and to weaken them. They are sitting in heavenly places. They're sitting there. And why is it when a minister, or when you're talking with your neighbor, and when you come in the Spirit, why is it that out of your lips appears things that you wouldn't ordinarily say? I remember a testimony that Uncle Skeet used to tell. And he was down in Mexico. He was down in Mexico and he was delivering a sermon and his poor Spanish was not coming across. And he's praying, Almighty God, Lord, quicken me. Come in me. Help me to be able to do the work of an elder. And it said that as he was standing there, he said that he saw a ladder. So that ladder came down from heaven and came and hit his head. And on every rung of that ladder, Placido, was a Spanish word. And that was a moving ladder, and as that rungs came down, and they came down, and that rung of with that Spanish word hit his head, out his mouth appeared that word. He's in a different dimension. He's quickened. He is sitting in heavenly places. He is above the normal. He's walking in the Spirit. He's filled with the power of God. He has the way and the means to minister. And upon him is strong deliverance of any force that would come against him. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. If you know what that's talking about, Moses had erected the tabernacle in the wilderness. Had this tabernacle in the wilderness, and in that tabernacle it had an outward court, it had an inner court, and then it had a what? The holiest. And what you would do is you would be on the outward court and they'd have their sacrifices and you'd offer your little sacrifices and maybe a priest who would govern the flame of the sacrifice and you may bring that into the inner court and there may be some priest that can enter into the inner court, but nobody enters into the holiest. And there's a veil there up and down in the holiest. No one but the priest once a year goes into the holiest of holy. Well, what happened at the death of Jesus? The veil was rent. And the veil, when it rent, meant what? You can go into the Holy of Holies. You can go into Jesus. You can go into where the power is. You can go in there where the mercy seat is. You can sit down and be covered by the cherubim wings. You're covered. You're surrounded. You're filled. You're breathing in. You are part of that which God has given to His children when that veil was rent. That's our heritage and that's our promise. And we together can go into the Holy of Holies. We don't have to stay outside. You don't have to suffer in ignominy and defeat and worry and concern and preoccupation with the things of the world. You're free and you live and you're in the heavenlies with God Almighty. And He animates your soul. And your life takes on meaning and significance. And you have a purpose in life. And you're affecting for the kingdom of God. And every movement and every word that comes out of your mouth, you've laid another stone in the building of the kingdom. The Lord is good. He's a stronghold in the day of trouble. And He knoweth them that trust in Him. Two things. Boy, powerful stuff. He's a stronghold. Stronghold, in my mind, and it may not be totally accurate, but in my mind, a stronghold is where you get your bazookas and you get your artillery for your tanks, and you're going to move out and you're attacking the enemy. This is where the strong. This is where the power point is. This is the powerhouse. And you get the power in the stronghold. And it says the Lord is a stronghold. And you come into the stronghold. And you're made strong. And you go out. So I think of Elijah. Elijah says, "The Lord for whom I stand before every day has sent me to you, O priests of Baal, 450 of you. The Lord whom I serve has sent me." And he stood there before 450 men with blood on their teeth, long claws on their fingers, wanting to tear him apart. And he says, "I come before you, and where is your God? And I'm going to show you in a few minutes where my God is." And if you know the story, more power to you. If you don't, I'm not going to tell it right now. And he defeated the 450 priests of Baal. And they went home absolutely defeated. And the God of Elijah, for whom he was just presently in the stronghold, came and exhibited his strength. You have that heritage. You have that given to you. If you're in the stronghold, if you're in the hiding place, if you're in the Lord, if the Lord is in you, you've got that. And when the people of God begin to get that, the power is going to pulse from Phoenix, Arizona, from Independence, Missouri, from Yobain and from Kenya and everywhere else. When the people get a hold of that, knowing that it's not me, and it's not me and my stuff, but it's me that goes in and I have put to death the things that have corrupted me. I've put it to death. I consider it dead. And I go in there as that into the powerhouse, and the power comes down. And it says that them that trust in him. Can you imagine if you had an army, or if you had a group, or if you had a bunch of people of the Church of Christ, and you couldn't trust in them? Well, you know, the Lord sometimes, when we're full of this stuff right here, I think that he's in Almighty Heaven, and he's maybe stroking his beard. I don't know if I can trust him. I don't know if I can trust him. But for those that he can trust. I used to have some Mexican boys, and I took them everywhere. Had them for several years. And I took a dollar bill, and I put it in the what do they call that part of your car? Right there at the root. Where is it? Yeah, well, right there between where the door comes up and meets the roof right here, there's a little spot. I put a dollar bill there. Six of those boys would get in my car. Had them all the time. I drive that car, and as I'm driving that car, I'm looking at that rearview mirror right there, and those boys are like this. Now, they never did touch that dollar bill. But I was seeing if they were trustworthy. I was making my test. What does the Book of Mormon say about the test? The test in time about this life? What is the word they say? A time of probation. A time of testing. A time to see, do I have someone who is worthy? Do I have somebody I can trust in with the kingdom? Or are we wasting our time and we're mistrustful? And God is sitting there, I'm waiting where you come up to speed. I'm waiting for you to enter into the stronghold. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I've got confidence in that. I believe it, what it says. I believe that if I dwell in this secret place, that I have got a hand over me. Now, Brother Rollin right here, he said something that he was marveling at in the sermon. Not Brother Marvin, Brother Rollin. He said that when he saw this presentation by Brother Roger right there, of all the devastation for miles and miles of hundreds of billions of dollars worth of stark devastation right here, what in the world happened to that storm that our brothers and sisters didn't get hit? And I see abiding under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm not puzzled by that. I'm not wondering by that. That is the way that it is when you're in the Lord. You're under the shadow. You're into the hiding place. You're coming from the stronghold. You are under the unction of the Lord right here, and you're dwelling in holy places. And when you're in the shadow of the Almighty, there's no hailstorm that can come and beat you down. There's no efforts, fiery blast of the devil with his fiery arts, his darts, and the werewolf as he's trying to blow your house down. He can't do it if you're abiding under the shadow of the Almighty, and if you trust in Him. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Remember the story of Moses. Now, he brought 2 million people out of Egypt. He brought those people out of Egypt, and they were not all converted. They all don't have the same view and philosophy that Moses does. They're coming along because we got to, you know, and maybe he's got something cooking here, you know, and we better leave while we got a chance. And so 2 million strong left Egypt. And they left Egypt, and they come out. And it wasn't long before they were at the Red Sea. Moses, how are we going to get across this water? Well, the Lord will provide. Yeah, sure. And then they turned around and they heard some horse thunder. They heard the shout of men and clanking of armor. And men yelling for blood. And they looked and the fear come down. Moses, we're going to die here. You brought us out of Egypt to die here. He says, stand still and be strong and see the salvation of God. These your enemies for whom you see now, you will not see again. And God was true to His promise, and He kept His promise, and they died in the depths of the sea. He is my refuge and my stronghold. I will say to the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. I have that hope and that view. I believe that in our day and time, we have got a fortress in the time of trouble. Though our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into His grace. Into His grace, into the Lord right here, he says to my children who have mortified the flesh, who have put away from their lives the garbage of their lives, who have come in and have trusted in the Lord, says they have access to His grace. That grace is just not really just given to everyone. But the access, but the door of grace swings open and you got access to it. In the Bible, it poor old blind Bartimaeus sitting on a curb day after day with his little cup right here tinkling. Anybody got any change for a poor blind man? And passing by, he heard a parade, and he heard some hallelujahs, and he knew that some branches were being cut down, and he knew that somebody important was coming. And who is it? Well, it's Jesus is coming. Well, who is Jesus? Jesus is this mighty man of God. This man is able to do strong things. He's able to raise the dead and make the deaf to hear. Jesus, he says, shut up, Bartimaeus. We're having a dignified parade right here. The king is coming. Be quiet. Jesus. And they couldn't stop him. They can't stop him. Is your voice stopped? Is your voice stopped? That parade stopped. And grace is about to begin. Who called my name? Come here, Bartimaeus. What is your desire that I might see? Be it done unto you by your faith. He entered into grace. He had access to grace. He had nothing else. All he had was his faith in Almighty God, and he brought that before Jesus. This is all I've got. I believe that you can make my eyes to see. And the gate of grace opened up, and he had it. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut the door about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation overpassed. I think of when Moses told the children there at the time of the Passover, he says, get in there and shut your doors. Shut your door, because evil is passing by. The death angel is going to come by tonight. If you believe that, shut your door. And the blood will be put over the lintel. And when he sees the blood on the lintel right here, it's going to pass by. And for you, the indignation passes by because you hid yourself in the Lord. Well, they did that. They believed it. Well, I'll tell you what, the indignation is passing by in America. It's passing by. And I tell you what, I want to know where the hiding place is. And I want to get in there until it passes by. And I believe that I'll be in the hiding place. And I believe exactly the word of God as he says, it's coming, and it's coming. Trouble is coming against the world, such as the world has never seen. It's the time of the heathen, the time of Jacob's trouble. And it's on its way. And until we have recognized to leave the litter behind and to pack our bags with the good stuff, we're going to be caught, and then the indignation is going to catch us. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. Walk in Jesus. Can you imagine if, in some strange way of thinking, if Jesus was a very big man, a huge, gigantic personage, and somehow if I could get in him and walk about, do you think that he would permit me to walk about with my trash? But he says, walk in him. Walk in him. I'm walking in the Lord. Walking in the Spirit. Walking governed by, as the house of Israel, before them was a pillar of fire. Behind them was a pillar of smoke. Walking in the Lord. Walking in the fire. And walking between the fire and the smoke. Walking in the divine deliverance. And Almighty God's right there, and he permits it so because my child has mortified those things that are corrupting him. But what about him in us? We've been in him. All this right here is him in us in him. But what about him in us? Yea, and from that time even until now, I have labored without ceasing that I might bring souls unto repentance. What is ministry? What is our calling? That deals with this verse. What is our calling? To call men to repentance is, if I'm walking this way, repentance means turn around, Randy, and walk the other way. If I'm walking the same track, I have not repented. I can't carry my stuff and continue in this path and be repentant. I can't do it. It's not repentance. Repentance is where I have declared to me by the Spirit of God, by a minister of God, by my own wife, by some child, I've been told you need to repent. And I know that when I have messed up. I know that when I've hurt somebody's feelings. I know that when a little kid has been beat down and he hadn't been helped by an adult. I know that there is needed to be repentance. I know that wherever I go, there's a wake of trouble. Wherever I go, I say the wrong things and I'm doing the wrong thing and people are injured and damage is done. I know I need to repent. And the Bible tells me, Randy, you need to overcome. Blessed are those that overcome, for them shall be eternal life. I need to overcome that. I need to overcome what it is that I may hurt another person. If I'm damaging and sullying and perverting and corrupting and soiling the way of God and the building of His kingdom, I need to repent of that. What does God tell you to repent of? Are you listening? What is He saying? And have you obeyed the terms of his repentance? He's asking you to change. Have you changed? Well, yeah, I want to change, and I've been working on changing, and yeah, I've been afflicted with this for 40 years right here, but yeah, someday maybe. What? There needs to be an overcoming. There needs to be, I will overcome that. When somebody yells in my face, I have got to overcome the echo from their yelling. I've got to overcome that. If I am mean and nasty, I've got to overcome that. I can't excuse myself for being mean and nasty. If I'm selfish and you know, there's only one Krispy Kreme donut right here, and I'm sorry, I know you guys like it, but here it goes. I've got to learn to share and to give. Somebody told me here just recently, said that, asked a young person, what changed your life? Well, I saw myself as being kind of selfish and self-centered, and I recognized that I wasn't any help to anybody, and I knew that I had to overcome that, and I knew that had to change. And when that person changed, we're talking about a lovely person of value to the kingdom. God then can use such a person because they're in the Lord is in them, animating what they do. That I might bring souls unto repentance, that I might bring them to taste of the exceeding joy of which I did taste, that they might also be born of God and be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jenny Yates, I was recalling yesterday about an event that the young people did years ago. And you were probably 14 years old, 15. And we got a bunch of orphan kids into the Temple Lot Church, you remember? We got a bunch of kids, and it was at Christmas time, and we fed them, and we gave them Christmas. And you said something that I never forgot. Tell me what your reaction was to that. Maybe one word or two. You said, "This is the most wonderful Christmas I have ever had." That's exactly what you did. Well, why, Jenny? You put in some hard work. That was hard getting those kids over there, sitting them down and be quiet and be mannerly and don't do that and don't throw your peas on the floor, you know. And then and you had to wrap those presents and everybody had to buy them and it cost you money, cost you time, sweat and hard work. And here you are saying, "It was the most wonderful Christmas I ever had." Why? Because it's joy. Joy in the journey. Joy that God has for His children when they overcome and they serve the Lord and when they put away the things that are crippling them and distorting them and disabling their ability to talk right and to be right and to have a heart that's right. Exceeding joy, which I did taste, that they might also be born of God and be filled, here He comes, and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And we're going to do that today. Casey, where are you? Casey's going to come into the kingdom. And we're going to pray mightily that she's going to be filled with His Holy Spirit. And that she'll know exceeding joy. Blessed are all they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. Do I have, raise your hand if you're hungry people. Are you hungering and thirsting after God? I want to tell you, I'm hungering and thirsting after God. Who was that? I was talking to a young man the other day. He said, "I can't get enough of it." Harvey was telling us in his testimony the other day, he says, "I determined to find out what about the Scriptures, and I want to know everything." Well, that sounds like a hunger, a big batch of hunger that I can see. I can't get enough of it. I want to read that again. Boy, that fed me, and now it's part of me. It's in me. I read it. I believed it. And now it's me. And blessed are all they who do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled with the Holy Ghost. And I, Nephi, having great desires to know of the mysteries of God, behold, He did visit me and soften my heart. I desire to know that. I have talked with several people this reunion. And in the course of their conversation, it is, I desire to know. I want to know what to do. I want to know what my response should be. I want to know. It's a mystery to you. Nephi desired to know the mysteries. And do you think that Nephi was shut out of the throne of grace by God who's on the heavenly places? And that door opened up and he came in and he had insight and understanding to the mysteries of God. And he softened his heart. I tell you, you know, and I've been horrified sometimes to self-examine and feel by self-examination my own heart. And I love it when the Lord comes in and it softens. That's what the Lord wants to do. He wants to soften the hearts of this congregation. Now I'm talking to us. Lest anybody misunderstand. I'm talking to us. And we've got access to the throne of grace. We've got access to power, but we've got something to repent of, all of us. When King Benjamin had made an end of speaking, behold, they had fallen to the earth, for the fear of the Lord had come upon them, and they had viewed themselves in their own carnal state. When I see this stuff in my life, I ask the Lord, Lord, help me to see the stuff in my life without excuse. And if I've got some valuable thing, well, you know, I paid $600 for this. I just can't turn loose of that. I can't give that up. When I come to terms and when I view myself in my own carnal state right here and the Lord comes in, I'm able to get rid of the anchor to my soul that is against my soul from going to God. Viewed themselves in their own carnal state even less than the dust of the earth, and they all cried aloud with one voice saying, Oh, have mercy and apply the atoning blood of Christ that we may receive forgiveness of our sins and our hearts may be purified. And it came to pass that after they had spoken these words, only after it comes to pass, only after this personal review, and only when you have God's view of yourself, comes what is about to come. And what did it come? The Spirit of the Lord came upon them and they were filled with joy. Now, I tell you what, I love that feeling. I love to be filled with joy. I love to feel that I have been a nail in the doorhouse of our God. I love the feeling that I've been a participator in the work of God by humility, by the glory of God. That is joy to me. And so I'm about to begin and resume my journey. I'm about ready to move on. I don't think that I'll take that stuff. I can't have you. You've been a friend, but I thought you were a friend, and I've come to change my mind. I'm tired of malnutrition. That's not something that I want to be recognized to have on in my life. My counselors, I'm sorry, but you counsel me. Your counseling has come to an end. I don't need you. I don't need it. I'm going to be above and above board in all that I do, and deceit has ended today. What I want songs that minister to my soul. I think I'll take you. Lord, I want a softened heart. Thank you. I've got my coat. And I've got my cloak. I am to be known, and the bride of Christ is going to be adorned in purity. Bread for the journey. It is long. But my God will sustain me and He will provide. And I won't hunger. But I've discovered that what He has provided for me is more than I need. And I'm willing to break my bread with a fellow traveler on the way. I understand that I'll never thirst again. And I'm going to drink living water. I'm not satisfied with anything less. And that is to remind me that my feet are upon the rock of ages that will not move. And I will take that rock with me, and He'll be the anchor to my soul. I'm done with low-down ways. I'm done with being a victim of the world. I'm going to put on my coat. I'm going to put on the Lord. I'm going to be governed my path. Is a light under my feet, a lamp under my feet, and a light under my path. Henceforth lieth up for me a crown of righteousness, but not only for me, but for all those that love the Lord. We'll meet together again at the throne of grace. God bless you.